When the art day gets rough, you just gotta keep on punching. And here's your Thunder Punch Daily with Jersey Drozd.
Hey, it's me, Jersey, and it's time for your Thunder Punch Daily, the show I record not very daily, sharing a few thoughts from the mind of a cartoonist. So I spent a couple hours this afternoon working on something that is part of, let's go back a couple episodes. I was talking about reprioritizing my life, figuring out what my priorities are going to be for 2011. I mean, this is the time to think about it. And probably you're going to hear a little bit about this in the upcoming Art and Story regular show, where we talk a little bit about reassessing how the year went for us and how we move ahead with what's working and what's not. And I think I talked in that priorities episode of Thunder Punch Daily, at least I know I talked about it in that Art and Story, about wanting to put a little bit more effort behind my teaching work. And I've got some strategies in mind for that. Now, somebody's going to say, well, geez, Jers, what's this got to do with comics? I'm a comics artist after all. I'm not necessarily a teaching artist like you. Are you saying I should be? No, I'm not saying that. What I am saying is that the strategies I'm thinking about now for my teaching work are going to trickle down to my comics work as well. And I do think they're applicable to any independent business that you want to run. It's just I'm going to use my teaching work as an example, because that's where, for at least the beginning of this year, I'm going to be putting a lot of my energy into, because it's something where there's some momentum going on in my life right now. And something that Kevin talked about on the Big Illustration Party Time podcast when he was doing that, and I know we talked about that in the upcoming Art and Story, is a mistake that we've made. I think Kevin admitted to this. I hope he admitted this. If not, I'm putting words in his mouth. At least I've made this mistake in the past with my freelance career, is once I got some momentum going, I'll sit back and go, well, gee, now I don't need to keep the advertising and promotional engine going anymore, because the work's starting to come in. There's momentum now. Word of mouth is going to carry me for the rest of the way. Well, that's not, my history has proven that's not exactly the case. When the momentum gets going, I think that's the time to put even more muscle behind promoting your project, your product, your services, whatever you want to call it, whatever creative endeavor you want people to know about. So, yeah, this is going to be part of, I think, a couple episode series for a little bit here on Thunder Punch Daily, as I document some of the things that I've been playing with and sharing my experiences with you guys, so you could see if you want to try these things out as well, or at least get a sense of, oh, gee, that doesn't sound like something I want to do. Now you know that you don't have to try it. So the first thing I'm going to refer to today is going back even further in the Thunder Punch archives to episode 78, where I talked a little bit about mailing lists, and something that I was sort of on the fence about. I don't know if I'm going to do it or not. It's got some, I can see the potential of it. Well, as I move forward with trying to find some ways to keep the word out, keep the word being spread, what am I looking for here? As I look for a way to stay in the news cycle, as it were, for my teaching work, finding new clients, making more people aware of this, I'm beginning to believe that mailing lists are a really viable answer for that. And it really came down to a choice between Mad Mimi and MailChimp as the two different email management services that I wanted to try out. And I wound up going with Mad Mimi mostly because, as I said in episode 78, or was it 78? I got to look at my archives here. Yeah, it was 78, mailing lists. Baratunde Thurston on an episode of the Spark podcast was talking about how he used Mad Mimi. And so I thought, well, you know, these services seem pretty similar. I'll just go with that. I compared the different services. They looked pretty equal to me. So at that point, I'll just go on a word of mouth recommendation. And setting it up was not difficult. And as it turns out, drafting the emails to be sent out, what they call promotions, is not difficult. It's come a long way since I ran an email list back in 2005 on the Make Like a Tree comic site. And it was a lot more difficult back then to set up an email to send out to your constituency. Nowadays, it's all drag and drop. It's and with like a little bit of markup language, you can use bold text, you can create links within the email. It looks really pretty. I ran some tests. But the interesting thing that happened was, as I was playing with it, I was discovering all these things that I had not anticipated. And that's what I want to share with you guys today. One is, when you sign up for the service as a user, not you, the content creator, but I'm saying like people who want to sign up for my mailing list, Mad Mimi has an automatic feature it takes you to a page that says, thank you for signing up. And that's it. And there's no redirect to any other pages or anything like that. And once I tested that, I was like, ooh, you know, that's going to, you know, having done enough business online, people like to be reassured that their message has been received and it will be processed and there will be a response soon. A simple thank you page with just the gray letter saying thank you is not enough, in my opinion, to assuage nervous users of your service. So I found out Mad Mimi has settings where you can actually create a landing page. So you have some kind of a page on your website that'll be redirected to upon signing up for your email list. And I had to set that up. So that was one thing, and it was just a simple thing. You set up a little page with an image file, a fun little image file that says, thanks for signing up. Thanks for subscribing to the email list. You'll be contacted soon with an activation code. And yes, indeed, Mad Mimi, and I assume MailChimp as well, sends out a standard email that says, thank you for subscribing. Click this code to verify that you indeed signed up for this mailing list. Well, that too, once I got that verification email, I was like, well, that's a little bland and it has the potential to get archived or thrown away because if somebody forget, it took a couple hours to get the activation code. Somebody may have forgotten they even signed up for it. Because, you know, one of the things I'm trying to do with this email list is try to use it. Well, I'm going to get to that in a second. The different kinds of audiences I'm trying to reach with my email list. Okay. But anyway, so the activation email, man, as I looked at that, I was like, that could use some branding and customization and put my personal voice into it so people feel reassured that their message has been received and I'm grateful for it. And I will be contacting them soon with more information. So I went back into the Mad Mimi control panel. And sure enough, when you create a web form for your website for people to sign up on, you can create, there's some custom fields you can fill out with a customized email response that gets put above the activation code. So I had to draft an email for that. Thanks for signing up for my email newsletter. Here's the things you're going to be, this is another thing I thought I should do is I should set expectations. What are they signing up for? There's just, when you set up an email subscription form on your website, I set it up in a widget in the sidebar. And I didn't want it to take up undue amounts of real estate of my page. You know, you don't want that thing to be huge. It should be a tasteful size. And so I chose what I thought was a tasteful size. But that meant that there wasn't much room for text to say what you're signing up for. So let me go to the Comics Are Great website right now and see what I put. I just put... I thought I was being cute here, but email is great. Comics are great. Email is great. Get free teaching materials, info on my upcoming workshops, and more. Okay, that's straightforward and it's simple enough. But upon signing up for it, I thought I should set the user's expectations. So the email that I drafted that gets sent to them runs something along the lines of what are the things you're going to be getting from me? And again, this ties into something I'm going to get to in a second about who is the audience I'm trying to reach with this. But so I created this bullet pointed list of here are the things I'm going to be sending you in the coming months. So that's a custom thing you can set up. But that's another thing that I didn't even think about when setting up an email list is that you have to, at least I, upon investigation, it was occurring to me that the more you can apply your personality and identity onto this thing, the more comfortable people are going to feel with using it. If they get a personal response from you saying, thank you, here I am, this is how I talk, and here's the stuff I'm going to be giving you, that's going to make them feel more reassured than a simple standard thank you for subscribing. Please click the activation code in order to verify that you signed up for this service. You know, you don't want to do that necessarily. That's going to, you know, run the risk of having people unsubscribe or not activate right at the outset. So let's get to who I'm trying to reach with this. Obviously, the Comics Are Great site, you look at the header, it says Jersey Joe's cartoonist and teaching artist. I have two audiences that I'm trying to serve. I'm trying to entertain people with my comics, and I'm trying to promote myself as an educator of comics, somebody who can lead comics workshops in your area and promote things like Kids Read Comics, right? And be a comics advocate. So you guys who are listening to this are probably not the people who are going to necessarily be interested in my in an email newsletter from me. You guys are following me on Twitter. You guys are following me in the Art and Story Forum and through the Thunder Punch Daily Podcast and through the Art and Story Podcast. You guys have your news channels to follow me. Now, on the other hand, when I teach workshops and do professional development sessions with teachers, they're not necessarily listening to podcasts, and they are certainly not listening to two-hour podcasts. At least whenever I'm talking to them about, you know, for more information on what I do, I always talk about, well, there's this thing called the Art and Story Podcast. I do with hours and hours of content talking about comics. And I see their eyes glaze over like, oh, gee, I don't listen to that stuff. I'm going to make a gross generalization if I go any further with that, and I don't want to do that. But in any case, just the headline here is that I noticed that a lot of them don't seem very interested when I start talking about a podcast or even following me on Twitter, which is interesting. When I mention Facebook, they go, hmm. But when I say, oh, I'm on Twitter, they go, oh. So that's pretty interesting too. So anyway, I thought, okay, so this will be a way to create materials to remind teachers and librarians and educators of all stripes of what I'm doing, what workshops I'm going to be leading next. They could subscribe to my RSS feed. So what is the extra value that I can add? Well, if you remember when I read the description, get free teaching materials. This is the description that runs next to the sign-up form on my website. Get free teaching materials, info on my upcoming workshops, and more. So a mailing list. It has to have some kind of value add beyond the personal interactions that they're going to get from me. And so I thought, well, this could be an opportunity for me to be collecting lesson plans and classroom experiences from my teaching work, stuff I'm already doing. All I'm going to be doing is collecting it and repackaging it to create useful content for teachers. In a sense, create what the Art and Story Podcast is for the working cartoonist, an aspirant cartoonist. But create that kind of content for teachers in a way that is more useful to them than, say, a podcast. In other words, PDFs. Here's a PDF of a lesson plan that I led in the classroom, and these are the experiences that I had. Maybe like a 5 minutes, 10 minutes video or audio recording that I'll, you know, record while I'm leading that lesson plan in the classroom, which I plan on doing this coming year anyway, to create more internet content based on my teaching to disseminate and promote myself with. So that's what I'm trying to reach with this. And to that end, in my investigations of Mad Mimi, it's interesting if you sign up for their free plan, which is what I did, which, I think it offers you like 1,000 people to sign up on your list. If you have any more than that, then you have to sign up for a paid service. I don't expect to have more than 1,000 people on my list, at least for the coming year. So free will work just fine for now. But you can create all like these subcategories of mailing lists. You can create, you know, like as I was playing with it, I was like, wow, I could create like a mailing list for Art and Story listeners or podcast listeners. And I create one for teachers. I could create one for aspirant cartoonists and working cartoonists at whatever kind of subcategory you want to get into. In the end, I thought that's just way too fragmented for a mailing list that's just starting out like my own. Especially given that I've already identified who I'm trying to reach with this mailing list, is that I'm trying to promote myself as a comics workshop guy, educator, whatever you want to call it. So for now, I'm just sticking with one category for everybody who signs up. But if you create multiple categories, you can create a web form, and it's pretty easy to set up. It's just a control panel interface on the Mad Mimi site. You can set up as many different subcategories as you want. You can have your users check which one they are to sign up for that specific list, and then create promotions, as they call it. In other words, just email newsletters to specifically for each different audience member. Gosh, I figured that only really comes in if you've got a huge constituency already at the outset. And it's something where maybe I can add those subcategories as my email list grows, if it grows. So this raises another thing altogether, which I'm going to get into more in the coming Thunder Punches about this topic, is with the Art and Story stuff and with the Comics Are Great website and podcast, I've been kind of playing in the waters that I've been familiar with over the last 3 years, and that is mostly just comics philosophy and comics how-to stuff. But if I want to promote myself more as an educator, I feel that it might be prudent to separate out my identities a little bit, do a little bit of curation on how I promote, how I interact with the internet through my different identities. And I thought about how if I'm going to have teachers, if I'm trying to reach out to teachers and librarians, et cetera, and I'm going to point them at my Twitter feed, Jersey on the Twitters, you know, the other day I posted a little mini review of the new Transformers cartoon as I was watching it. I was live tweeting as I was watching it, kind of, you know, responding to what I thought of it as I was watching it. And I thought, you know, that's fine for people who are, you know, who listen to all of the podcasts that I do and read the comics that I do and are familiar with me beyond my internet identity, right? Who are familiar with me more as a person, a little bit more of a three-dimensional picture of who I am. But to somebody who's just coming to me for arts education information, that's noise. And so it occurred to me that the opportunity arised for maybe it's time to start another Twitter feed. And I started it up. It's just comics are great on the Twitters. And I'm not telling you guys this so that you'll all come and follow me on there, because all that's going to be is my Twitter channel to share teaching arts information. So if you're a cartoonist who's interested in leading comics workshops, yeah, there's going to be something in that feed for you. But if you're just somebody who is just a fan of the comics how-to stuff that I do and the art and story content, and then also like the kind of comics I like to do and like the sketches I like to do, that's really not going to be in that Twitter feed. I'm going to start curating what my promotional engines are in order to speak to specific audiences. And this is where I get to the last point for this Thunder Punch episode, is that I know that essentially I'm taking on a new job with this email list management and with another Twitter feed. Thankfully, the Twitter app on the iPhone allows for multiple accounts. So I can just, it's as easy as a flick of the thumb to go to one of my other accounts and post an update. That's not as big a deal, but I do know that doing an email newsletter is going to be, I'm treating it like it's going to be another job, but it is just like what Kevin and Josh talked about on the Big Illustration Party Time podcast last year, is promoting yourself and keeping the word out and networking with clients is just as much a part of your job as doing the drawing in freelance illustration. And in my teaching work, and I think also as an independent cartoonist, part of my job is staying in contact with my constituency, with my clients, with my enthusiasts, whatever you want to call them, and having some kind of publicity engine going. And I think a blog is not enough. I think a blog and a Twitter feed and all that stuff is a passive experience. Email is for the people who are really seriously interested in your stuff. And giving them a little bit of extra stuff that nobody else can get. It's sort of like how Art and Story Supreme is, right? But the barrier to entry is signing up for an email list. So, yeah, I'm going to be documenting that a little bit more in the future. Not necessarily next episode, but down the road. I'm going to be documenting my struggles with and my experiences with maintaining an email newsletter. And I'm looking forward to see how it develops, because I've got more ideas than what I've already outlined here. That maybe I'll talk about in the future Thunder Punch, maybe in the next couple, as I think about building, see what this series is going to be about, this little mini series that I'm going to be doing, is going to be about building a sort of a marketing and publicity engine around the different things that I do. And at the very least, let's say that you are just starting out and you've got 4 pages of a comic online and you don't consider yourself a professional yet. Although I think just doing the work on a regular basis makes you a professional by my definition, but that's neither here nor there. But let's say you're not like ready to dive into this whole like self-promotional thing. I do think that even little bits of this stuff is helpful to understand in building a fan base or an enthusiasm base so that you can start to either build it out to getting more professional work or making it into a profession for yourself in whatever way you want to. So I don't think this is just hot air. I think this is all really interesting stuff. At the very least, it's interesting philosophy about life in the 21st century, if nothing else. So I've gone on long enough now. So who am I? I'm Jersey Droz, jdroz.com, Jersey on the Twitters. Thank you very much for supporting us in this project. We really couldn't do it without you. Thank you to the new subscribers who signed up recently. I hope you guys are enjoying what you're finding there. And yes, I did get a lot of emails over the Christmas holiday, and I will respond to them all. It's just it's a little bit of a catch-up time as I barrel through this last week of 2010. So thanks once again. I will be back soon with another Thunder Punch Daily. Until then, remember, everybody,
being the most powerful man in the universe isn't all that makes He-Man such a great hero. Being strong is fine, but there's something even better. In today's story, He-Man used something even more powerful than his muscles to beat Skeletor. You know what it was? If you said his brain, you were right. And just like a muscle, your brain is something you can develop to give yourself great power.